Scribe test, test test for the scribes, scribe test. Thank you.
So it's 1:40, and I would like to, even though we're continuing to eat, I would like to start to discuss the future meetings and timeline and future steps. Close to the coffee and water, I also put 3 cups of chocolate that I brought from Sweden that might be needed to get us bouncing around the room here. But please help yourself. So what you see on the slide to the right here is a suggestion from me and Elisa have been thinking about where we are and what the future steps are. And we know that this is pretty aggressive, but we do believe that all of us would like to move forward. As we said, as Mary, for example, pointed out yesterday, we should try to move forward as far as we can. And we believe that... it is possible to work on a timeline like this, that we agree that we should try to work out the feedback from these small work teams regarding the PTI issues on September 23 when we have the next call. that we as soon as possible after that, we basically at that call we also decide to send the actual questions to the operation communities that we have, which means that we are done with the evaluation and know what we are going to send back to them. They get until October 7 to come back with us with feedback, and that gives them approximately 2 weeks. And we should phrase it in such a way that, well, that we accept if it is the case that they cannot really respond, but we really want to have whatever they have on October 7. The reason for that is that we do have another call on October 8, and after October 8, the call we have on October 8, we can discuss what kind of homework do we need until we meet in Dublin on this Saturday and Sunday, the 17th and 18th, where we hopefully can discuss the changes to the document that might be required based on the feedback that we got now and also the feedback from the questions we sent to operation communities on September 23, 24. And then we have overflow time in Dublin on the 22nd, 23rd, the Thursday and Friday, when we can finalize, and that means that we are, at that point in time, we have reached the point when we cannot move forward without CCWG and other dependencies have resolved their issue. So our suggestion is that we are continuing to try to move forward according to the schedule. I would like to see whether anyone have any feedback on that. Martin.
Thanks, Patrick. As you say, quite an aggressive schedule, but I thought I'd just flag to you that there is currently proposed a CWG meeting conference call on the 24th of September, and then there's not another one until the 8th of October. So I think it probably would be sensible to alert the co-chairs of the CWG that we are expecting to get something through to them by early on the 24th at the latest, so that they can schedule that onto their agenda and then decide what follow-up work they need to do. Thank you.
Can you reconfirm that they do have a call on the 8th, October 8th? Was that what you said?
That's what I said, but now you've challenged me on it. I will go and look at my diary again.
Okay, while you do that, Alyssa.
So one question for the people who have been participating in the CWG in particular is that I think we will have a couple of questions for the CWG that might be ready to go, like, today or before our Wednesday call. So do we think we should just send them separately as soon as they're ready? Are you listening? Was one of these relates to you. If we have multiple questions for the CWG, some of which will be ready before others, should we just send them as soon as we have them ready separately, or will that be confusing to the CWG?
I can't really speak for the co-chairs of the CWG, but if I were them, I would certainly appreciate a warning before they get to the 24th meeting that this material was going to start arriving, and certainly also if we can get them stuff earlier, but then that they've got a reasonable idea of what they're going to expect to receive.
Okay, thanks.
Have you found whether the meeting is on the 8th?
Grace has just confirmed to me that it is on the 8th. I haven't actually got the time of it yet, though.
Okay, because as we will look on the actual dates for our calls, we do have time between the 8th and the 17th, so it is a possibility for us to move forward. So we actually have some space between the CWD calls and our calls, so they have time to compile whatever they're discussing on the 8th and then send things to us. So let's give them a day or three.
Yes, and also...
Okay, Alyssa is grumbling here, so that was a stupid idea of me.
That's fine, but you never let us have a call on a Monday, but I would suggest if we push our call too much further into the following week, then we're not going to have time to synthesize what they gave to us before we have to get on airplanes to go to Dublin. So I'm happy to bump our call to the 12th, which is a Monday, but you usually can't join calls on Mondays.
That is true. So anyway, so let's discuss the actual precise date. Let's keep date 8 for now, and then we'll see how we are implementing it. But we just need to make sure that things are. Let me restart. In this list of future steps, can I first get a comment whether there is consensus of the room is that these steps are plausible and we should try to do all of these steps to Dublin and ignore the precise dates. That's an implementation issue, how we implement the steps. So we can go into the exact dates in the next part of the discussion. What did we lose? Thank you. Daniel.
Thank you. This is Daniel. I fully appreciate the willingness or the drive to move expeditiously. But to my naive self, this looks overly ambitious. It looks overly ambitious under one condition, that we have really substantive exchange with the OCs. I think if I was in an operational community and you're responsible for absorbing and responding to stuff from the ICG, I would feel under unreasonable pressure. So my question is what's the mechanism for delaying this in the, stretching this in the sense of for reasons of quality, if that's required.
So one alternative is that instead of asking them to get back to us before our October 8th call, we just ask them to get back to us before our face-to-face, so that would give them basically an extra week or 10 days. And in that case, then we would have everything in from them just before we meet face-to-face. We would spend, the first session and possibly our second 4 hours on the 18th going through that and figuring out the implications for the proposal. And then we could seek to finalize the proposal during our last two meeting slots of the ICANN week. And then if we don't quite finish, we can always have a call the week after the ICANN meeting. So that's adds a week, adds 10 days to the community processes.
Lynn?
Thank you. Lynn Sainamor. I just had a point of clarity. Did we really mean feedback just from the PTI teams? Because, for instance, we just had a discussion around the CCTLDs, and presumably that's part of that as well, and whatever other ones we had from this morning.
Well, so, yeah, let's clarify. What we need before the September 23 call is anything that might generate a question to the operational communities, so that's beyond the PTI teams. I don't think we had established this deadline of next Sunday for some of the other texts, so the text that we're going to edit in part zero and text that's going to go in the summary document, those things we don't need by the 23rd. But we do probably need them by next Sunday.
Paul?
Yeah, Lynn asked the question I was going to ask. But just speaking for flexibility, I think the questions that go to the OCs we could provide the opportunity to respond by the 7th, in which case, the responses will have consideration on the 8th of October, but if not by then later. I mean, I think we can be transparent about the about the schedule and the opportunity to come in, preferably earlier, but if not, then later.
Caboose?
Yes, while I agree with Daniel that we should not put unnecessary pressure, but sometimes we did in the past. Others have put pressure on us on 8th of September and August, wanted the charter to be confirmed by 15th of August, 7 days only. Such an important issue, so sometimes inevitable. However, I agree with you, we could put it 24 hours before our face-to-face meeting. We need to have a look at that one for those who want to comment in the face-to-face meeting. So I agree, postpone it up to 24 hours before our face-to-face meeting. Responses from the community.
Joe?
Thank you, Joseph Alada, for the record. It would strike me that perhaps if the responses were requested like 3 days before our meeting in Dublin, it would give us an opportunity to have perused them before we actually get into the meeting, so we don't spend meeting time actually reading the responses because we're seeing them for the first time when we get to the meeting. So I think a couple of days buffer isn't going to make a difference to the communities, but will make us more useful when we get to the meeting. The other thing I would suggest is perhaps the word finalized needs to have a little more flexibility for the 22nd and the 23rd, because I think there may be some other people reading this besides us. And while this could be the aspirational, ambitious, just let us stretch, or the positive reinforcement, I think discuss finalization might be the more appropriate. And if discussion is closed at that point, then we finalize. But if there are still open issues, then perhaps we don't.
Thank you very much. Well, in our terminology, finalized means that we're blocked, but if it would have said Alyssa's party, then we know what it means, and it doesn't. Daniel?
How did you not put that on the schedule?
Again, this is Daniel again, amplifying on what I tried to say earlier. I think, and it's sort of, Joe was sort of going in the same vein, at least I interpreted it like that. We have to think about appearances to the outside world. And if I was looking at this from an OC perspective or just from an interested spectator's perspective, I would get the impression that this is a multi-year process that's suddenly rushed at the end. And I think we have to avoid that impression at all costs. Because if that sort of takes root in the community, in the outside observers, in the people who write about it, then we do a whole lot of damage to actually otherwise good work that we've been doing. And I'm really, really, really serious about this. And you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, it doesn't make a darn difference. Thank you.
No, it's absolutely noted, and I'm cannot really edit the page now, but I am currently editing according to the feedback. The feedback got so far is to change the discussed changes to our document is something that we are doing on the 22nd, 23rd. The responses should get back on. I will look on the calendar, but 17th is Saturday, so it should be on the 15th. We should be transparent and say that we do have a call on the 8th, which means that if it is the case that we have any kind of indication or responses that could help us, and the 17th and 18th is for interpretation discussion on the feedback. That those are the steps that we have so far. That is what I've heard so far. Lynn?
Thank you. Lynn Sainamore. I think we should probably consider two things. Rather than a bulleted set of dates, probably sort of an explanation of what our operating expectations are going forward. I think bullets, whether they're these dates, to support Daniel's points or others, could make it seem as though we're just assuming closure on a whole bunch of items, even though there have been some very significant developments between the ICANN board and the CCWG that does impact the CWG's support in our proposal. So maybe we can soften some of the concerns Daniel has by actually putting sort of an expectations or a text or what we're working towards, because we can make that a little more nuanced about some of the other dependencies, I guess. And I really would be concerned if we don't somehow both expect questions about what is this now doing to the ICG timeline, given some of the public comments, not just the ICG one, but in particularly the accountability one. So maybe just, you know, a paragraph or two in terms of what our current operating expectations are.
Thank you, Lynn. One of the reasons why I supported trying to get our feedback, why I feel the date 23rd is what we should try to reach for the feedback is because of the CCWG meeting, that is 25th and 26th. So we are transparent towards the CCWG, what we are expecting to send back. But regarding text surrounding our future steps, I agree with you. It's a little bit difficult to agree to sort of fit these steps on a slide like this. So this is working material to sort of frame the discussion. Let's see who was flagging. I lost track of the queue. Anyone that would like to speak up? Caboose?
Thank you, Patrick. I don't know whether Daniel of dealing or talking with few days or few weeks of timeline. If it is few days, we could put it in a qualified manner, preferably before X, but not later than Y date. But if it's a matter of weeks, we can't do that because we have to discuss it the 22nd, 23rd. So I don't know whether what sort of flexibility we are looking here. Few days we could accommodate by putting 2 days, preferably before X and not later than Y date. Thank you.
So I think in terms of what we communicate to the operational communities, assuming we manage to communicate things to them this week upcoming, we're asking for preferably before the 8th, not later than the 15th of October. Does that work? Any objections to that? That's, yeah? Daniel? Okay. No. No. Okay. Russ.
Russ Mundy, for the record. I guess one concern that I still have is as we assemble the set of things that need to go back to the operational communities, do we yet have a very good feel as to the difficulty of the material that we're sending back to them? I'm thinking, you know, for instance, the RZM-related things about, oh, did you really intend here for these two roles to be in separate organizations? Well, that's a relatively straightforward thing to answer. But some of the other things, I don't know that they will be. Have we given consideration to that part of the problem? In other words, don't ask them a really hard question and then give them 7 or 14 days to respond.
So I guess, I mean, the reason that we wanted to talk about this at all is because we have a couple of questions that we will, I think, have finalized by the end of today, and we need to establish dates for those. And I think in terms of level of difficulty, I would characterize those as low. Those are low level of difficulty. So that was really kind of the driving motivation for this is, like, can we ask for responses to those questions preferably by the 8th, no later than the 14th? Well, we can have this conversation again on the 23rd when we see what comes out of as far as the rest of the questions. And if they look really difficult, then we don't want to ask for something that we know the communities can't deliver on. So we can just come back to this question then. But I wanted to know in terms of dates for the ones that we are likely to finish today and maybe send today, the RZM one and whatever, if people feel comfortable with the October dates. Yeah, I don't know.
Russ, again, I think that is probably a good approach, that for the ones that we see that are relatively easy, we do that, we use the short dates, but we try to determine, as the ICG, before we send them, if we're giving them really tough things to answer and then don't necessarily expect them to answer sort of instantly.
It is also the case that we can also phrase the question in such a way that because we do meet face-to-face, we ICG in Dublin, which means that we could, for example, give the ability for the operation community to respond to say, this was actually a really tough question. We need another month or a year to think about this or whatever it is, or a week or day or something. So my point is that we have to be careful by just asking the question in the right flavor. We give the ability for them to also tell us how much time they need. But at the same time, as we could request that we actually get at least that information or an incremental response or whatever they are on October 15. Because of these dates, I think that October 15, that is the date when we can, just like Joe said and many others and Cavus, it is whatever we have on October 15 that we can work on in Dublin. And that is something that I think we can be transparent with and ask and request, and we can just ask the operational communities to sort of help us in our work by doing incremental delivery or whatever they have. So just like Lynn is saying, it has, of course, to do with the framing of the questions. Cavus?
My question is that how many of those difficult and tough questions that we have, if we have the majority of the questions relatively could be answered preferably before 8 and not later than 15, and for the difficult question, if we know how many we have, you may, just a suggestion, you may have another date for those one or two relatively tough questions. This is a way of proposals, unless I agree that 8 and 15 is good. But if there is a case that we need another week, perhaps we could have two categories of questions, the majority, 8 and 15, and the other one, we have two other dates.
I think I received feedback loud and clear, and let me now go to the actual time and dates that we have scheduled. And what we are showing now is the other dates and times. First, the upcoming calls. Call number 23 and 24, just a repetition of what you already know. And then the schedule for Dublin. And these are the slots that we have that is as much as we have confirmed so far. Saturday, 13 to 1700. Sunday, 9 to 12. Monday morning, it's a little bit unclear. It's tentatively late in the morning, but there's still a little bit of sort of juggling going on exactly the time for the session. Joint town hall session, ICG, CCWG. Thursday, 10:30 to 12:30, which is after CCWG. And then Friday, 9 to 17. We do know that, for example, Sunday slot between 9 and 12 is colliding with many other activities at the ICANN meeting from GAC and GNSO and others. So we really would like to, given that this is the time slots, we would like to get feedback from all of you what slots you are prohibited to participate at, etc. And not at this meeting, you please send it in an email, comments on this. Because we will then use that as background when we are trying to set the agenda. So, for example, if many people or a certain group of people cannot participate during the second half of the Sunday session, we will adjust the agenda accordingly. And with that, over to you, Elisa.
You have a question,
Paul?
It may be just me, but I'm not seeing the Dublin events in my calendar, so they haven't gone out yet. The invitations are going out. Okay, thanks. That's great.
Thank you, Patrick. We are going to move on to our next topic, which is the ICG criteria. If we could go to slide 26. Thanks. So everyone will recall that we asked the public some questions related to the same criteria that we had used to assess the proposal. Those questions were about completeness and clarity, which we will discuss yesterday and we'll discuss again in a little while. We're skipping that one for now. And then the others were about compatibility and interoperability of the three components, accountability and workability. So we wanted to briefly touch on the comments that we received on in response to those questions and see if people think we have any action to take. For compatibility, we received, you know, many people commented in response to this question. The majority of them felt that the proposals are compatible, and those who felt that they were incompatible generally opposed the proposal or the transition overall. So this was one of those questions where a lot of folks who had general opposition just sort of copied their same response into the text box. You know, they were against the thing entirely, and therefore they felt that the components were incompatible. To the extent that that commenters had reservations about the compatibility of the proposal, they pointed to topics that we have already discussed at length, some of which we will be discussing again. So many commenters who pointed to the issues surrounding IPR and to the issues surrounding the PTI, which we've already discussed. But although we've discussed them already, we just wanted to take a moment to see if anyone feels that there's any outstanding question as to whether the proposals are compatible or whether the public comments raise any new issues that you feel that we should discuss. Caboose, go ahead.
Just a simple observation. I think the questions or comments made for instance, Yana, IPR and PTI has nothing to do with compatibility. That is the questions of clarifications or discussing show has nothing to do with compatibility. Thank you.
Thanks. I think, again, you know, people put their answers in the questionnaire wherever they chose, not necessarily related to the question. Okay. So I think, you know, we can put a few words into the comment summary about this, but otherwise I don't think we have any action to take. I think the text that we already have in Part Zero covers this quite nicely. Actually, I'm sure we will end up updating that with respect to the IPR topic, but that's already been dealt with. So can put an action on the chairs to contribute the portion of the summary related to this topic. And go to the next slide, please. Accountability. So again, you know, we've discussed at length the dependency on the CCWG and essentially all the other topics that were raised in the comments in this section. Many people used this question as the bulk of their answer to the public comment, the request for public comments. So it wasn't clear to me that there was anything new that creeped up on this tab of the spreadsheet. But again, if anyone wants to raise anything, we can do that now. Okay. Go to the next one. So workability. As with many of the other questions from the forum, the majority of folks who responded to this one felt that the proposal is workable or is conditionally workable, assuming the resolution of many of the issues we've already discussed. And as with compatibility, many of the commenters who thought the proposal was not workable generally opposed the transition overall or the proposal in total. So it wasn't really the case that they just identified a workability issue that caused them to raise concern, but that they generally didn't think the proposal was fit to go forward. There were a couple of workability issues that some commenters raised that I just thought it was useful to point to because I don't think they're actually covered elsewhere. And these were one commenter who felt that ICANN needed to be turned into a for-profit corporation in order to be accountable at all. It's not necessarily a workability issue, but it was put in the workability box, I think. And then there was another commenter who raised what I do think you could consider a workability issue, which was that the there was a concern that the board recall procedure that's being defined in the CCWG could take so long that the board could actually change the recall rules in the meantime. So that was, I think, the thrust of that comment. I think there's actually some issues with the logic there, but wanted to flag that as it was highlighted as a workability issue. I have a cue. Yes. So, Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, Paul Wilson. I've heard a couple of times that there were objections, but they came from people who were opposed to the proposal anyway. And I just think we've got to be careful about that because, you know, someone who comes in and says, I think this is utterly a bad idea under any and all circumstances, and I will not support it. And by the way, I've got these specific responses, these specific complaints as well, is different from someone who's got a list of complaints or of issues that they want to raise which justify a position of opposition. It depends on what position
right.
of theirs comes first, and I'd just be a little careful if we were discounting,
yeah,
we
so
seem to be discounting.
To clarify, what I was trying to capture here is that there were a number of commenters who had a general objection to the proposal. For example, they objected to the U.S. government relinquishing their control at all, and they repeated that in every box of the web form. And therefore, it appears as a workability comment, but it's not really specific to workability. So that's what those were meant to be. And this is a small number. Just that's all that was meant to be. Yeah. Joe.
Thanks. Joe Alada for the record. The question I know has been raised in this area, and I just wondered if we captured it in other areas, because it was kind of a trending topic across the ones I read, was this concern about what needs to be agreed to versus what needs to be implemented. And I just, you know, when I was thinking back, I'm not sure that was necessarily captured in any of the other topics. And I don't think it's native to workability, and I wouldn't put it necessarily as this in this topic, but I think it has to be captured somewhere, because I do remember that being a significant topic of concern. I just want to make sure that we're capturing it as something we address in one of the topics as appropriate.
That's a good point, and we should think about that when we come back and talk about completeness and those categories of when things are going to get done. Elise, I think you were next.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then I will go back to the queue. Wolf Ulrich.
Thank you. I wonder whether the point sometimes was made with regards to complexity of the proposal, whether this belongs to that point or not. If I recall that correctly, some comments were made with regards this may be not one proposal rather than three or at least two proposals. So it seems to be to those people who seem to be not very close to the discussion that it is complex to work it in with regards to workability. So I wonder whether this point belongs here or is it discussed in any other environment. Thanks.
Thank you. Would appreciate other people's thoughts about how we should address that. Kavus.
Yes. First, perhaps I comment on what Wolf said. I think complex is a subjective. Complex with respect to what? Number one. Number two, this procedure now we are talking PTI and all of these things is coming from the theory. So we have to put it into practice, and no one knows that whether it is complex or not complex, and what is the degree of complexity. So I don't think that we could make any comment about that. That is something that we have to accept. as a result of so many discussions in CWG. Coming to the C point, I don't think that the number one, the one who made that comment, fully familiar with the situations. Turning ICANN from the non-profit to the profit may have some degree of accountability within the shareholding facilities or possibilities, but with respect to the community, does not change the accountability at all. So, and number two, ICANN board may change the rule during the recall. What recall they are talking? They are talking of recall of the board members? What recall is that? And I don't think that that is a relevant comment, because whatever CCWG currently established and may change after the ICANN-MEM situation, provide that the things should be stable and could not be changed in the meantime. If there are some things that, depending to the other things, there is some time frame that discussed that matter, so I don't think that we should take any action with respect to either C1 nor about C2. Thank you.
Thank you. Daniel.
Thank you. This is Daniel Kahnberg. First, a comment on the Q4C ones. Aren't those really accountability questions that don't belong here but belong into CCWG in essence? So we should just say that, and you know, we can acknowledge them, you know, but I think we should just say that and be done with them. Secondly, I think we have to somehow address in our deliverable the issue of complexity, and whether you like it or not, Kavush, this has been a comment that has been made under many headings, and if we have a choice of basically ignoring it, which is what I hear you suggesting, or at least acknowledge that we have received the messages and give some rationale on why we couldn't make it less complex. And that doesn't have to speak to the absolute complexity, so we don't have to get into a discussion of whether this is complex or not. But we have to we can make a statement of the sort, it's like, try as we may, we couldn't make it less complex. And that's something that we need to achieve consensus on if we want to do that, but it's a way forward that I suggest we cogitate on. Thank you.
Thank you. I will just note that assumes that less complexity is better. And so we would actually have to first get agreement that less complexity is better, which maybe we have, but I don't know. I don't know. I think if you tried to write down exactly how things work right now, they would also appear complex, but you don't hear people going around making that comment. But I'm just saying, I don't know, it doesn't really resonate with me personally. Anyway, Joe.
Thank you, Joseph Aladoff. Two things. One, I think when it comes to the California for-profit, if I'm not mistaken, that was actually in the Sidley analysis. I think they actually contemplated a for-profit, contemplated a not-for-profit, provided the options, and it was decided within the community. So I know I read it in the Sidley document. Whether it was discussed in the community, I can't say, but the lawyers at least took a shot at addressing it and did a pretty good job. In terms of complexity, I was kind of going through my mind of reviewing the comments I had gone through, and it seems to me complexity was raised in three ways, and they're all slightly different from each other. The first complexity, I think, is within our remit to answer, which was at least two people complained about the fact that our proposal was overly complex because we didn't merge the three proposals into one seamless proposal. And I think we have explained that as to why we didn't merge the proposals. We can revisit the language to see if there's anything we should add to make it clearer as to why, but that was one aspect of complexity that was raised. A second aspect of complexity, which I think was answered because the communities looked at this in their own processes, is the administrative burdens related to the processes as a whole. So the ICANN board is an example of those kind of concerns of complexity. And then the last one is some people considered the creation of PTI as an addition of unnecessary complexity and bureaucracy. But again, something I think was answered by the community in their deliberations of they chose this as the mechanisms they wanted to use. So I think the two concepts of administrative complexity and PTI equal complexity are things that the communities have addressed. Maybe they have not addressed them using the word complexity, but they addressed them by choosing among a number of different options that these were the ways they were going to move things forward. So I think realistically the major part of complexity that's within our remit is the complexity related to why our proposal is somewhat complex to understand, and that's because we did not want to put ourselves in the position of drafter on top of the communities, but rather assembler of what the communities did, and then we put kind of a guidance note on top of that.
Thank you. Paul?
I've thought about this a bit myself because I have heard it said a few times that the proposal is too complex and therefore it's bad. It's been described as a monster or, you know, whatever, you know, worse than the spreadsheet, yeah. But I think the judgment actually kind of implies or suggests that there was a top-down architecture going on, and as though there, it was a failure of our architecture to create something so complex. And I think part of the explanation here is about the original decision, which was made in the very early days to subdivide the work into the three different components and allow those components to be developed through a bottom-up process, not through a top-down process. And that's completely justifiable, I think. There's this principle of subsidiarity, which says that the solution to a problem should be located as close to those who are experiencing the problem, and that's exactly what we've done. We've given the challenge to the communities who are directly involved. And, in fact, I don't think it is a complex solution. I think what we have is a volume and a variety of different approaches in the three different communities, but I don't think that there's complexity, which to me would be an excess of interaction amongst those three components, for instance. I think PTI is an example of some added complexity because it actually became something that impacted across the three communities potentially, or it seemed to possibly have that impact. And I really don't think we should go with this suggestion that just because it's a big document and there's a lot of variety in there that it's actually complex. And I think if we'd taken a different approach, a top-down approach of trying to architect something that would solve all of the issues that everyone had, and particularly after iterations of trying to actually make that fit, I think we would have come up with a real monster, and that would not have been workable from a complexity point of view.
Thank you. Elise?
This is Elise talking about complexity, and then what Joe had brought up earlier was what needs to be implemented when. I think, you know, to me, both of those came together when I heard complexity and I heard Joe's previous comment of how many things that we've identified have to be done in advance of the transition or in order for the transition to be considered success, and which things aren't. But now that I heard Paul Wilson speak, I'm thinking, well, I wasn't thinking about complexity that way at all. I was mostly thinking of it more of on an operational and implementation. So maybe complexity is not all about what we get done in advance of it, the transition timeline. But I think, pardon? Right. So from an operational perspective, I was thinking of the complexity of making changes to the way things are done now, and not that the proposals themselves are complex, but that for an implementation, there's a lot of moving parts, and that's one type of complexity. It's not the kind that everyone's addressed.
Close. I think Joe very rightly categorize the complexity in three different categories. Apart from the first category, I don't think that we should comment on the second and third category, because in particular the third category was the result of hours and hours of calls, thousands and thousands of email, two public comments, and the last one approved by chartering organizations, and all of these issues were discussed. Less complex was internal, more complex for totally external. Then we have hybrid. Then we have this. We have seven methods. And finally, something between the two, legally and functionally separation was in PTI. So whether it's complex or not complex, that is that, and nothing else could be done unless you don't do anything. Thank you.
Thank you. Daniel and Paul, are you still in the queue? No. Okay. So it sounds like, and I was just looking back at part zero again, where we explain the process that we used, but we don't really explain why. So one thing we could do is try to explain why we solicited the proposals from the three communities, and we have lots of text written about that already, I think, probably in the charter. We could bring some of that in add it, you know, beef it up a little bit to make reference to the existing proposal. So that would get to Joe's first category. But it sounds like for the other categories, it's not clear that people feel that we want to say anything. So, and also, this is getting a little far away from workability. but do people have thoughts on that proposal? So we would essentially articulate better, you know, why we solicited the proposals from the three communities and what that means in terms of their interaction. And we would do that somewhere early in part zero. But otherwise, we would, you know, we can summarize the comments we received about workability in the summary document. And those would be the two actions. Russ Mundy, go ahead.
Thanks, Russ Mundy here. I think that's a very good approach. It might be worth having a short sentence, though, in the summary that pointed to the fact of comments that generally referred to other types of complexities were addressed by the operational communities in the definition of the approaches they wanted to use. Just as, you know, as a short way to, when people look and say, gee, was my comment dealt with? Can I find where the ICG says anything about it? That might be something simple and easy to put in the summary document.
Thanks. Daniel.
Hello, this is Daniel again. I think we need to consider whether we want to, how we want to deal with the C bits. And I hear you saying we just ignore them.
No, I think they would be, we would note their receipt in the summary, and we could also explain why we felt that they're not workability issues or what we thought of them.
Yeah. Okay. When then, if we think they're really issues for the CCWG, do we want to contemplate pointing them out to the CWG?
Good question. I think there's someone in the queue who's going to answer, but I have Lynn.
Thank you. Lynn Sainamore. I like your proposal, Alyssa, and I think it ties in with a conversation we were having this morning that said perhaps some more text that explains a little bit about what the current reality is had a place here in the text as well, and maybe there's a way to put those two together. So even here in the room, sometimes when people speak, it sounds like we had one monolithic process for managing across these three OCs through policy oversight and implementation, and we split that apart to go do this work. And in fact, that's not real. I mean, it is a distributed model that's been implemented and operating in a distributed manner. And so I think to the extent we can be a little thoughtful about some of the text we put in, then maybe we can include that, but also, I think, merge it with your point and not have to have a separate section, which is one of the things we commented on earlier.
Thanks, Lynn. Cavus.
Yes, to answer Daniel's question, if the complexity relates to the accountability issue and the community empowerment and the appeal process, it is CCWG. If it relates to the PTI, CSC, IFR, so on and so forth, CCWG cannot take any action at all because he is receiving from the CWG. So if somebody wants to do, address it to CWG. CCWG cannot deal with any of these issues relating to the PTI, to the CSC, to the IFR, to all of these things, because it is outside its mandate. Thank you.
Daniel, did you want to respond?
Yeah. I was, Kavush, I was talking about C1 and 2. There's no PTI in there. Oh, yeah. These are really, to me, they're speaking towards the accountability issues. But that's a, you know, let's not waste more time on this. I just had a short chat with Paul Wilson, and we are prepared to actually address the quote complexity unquote issues and suggest some language also in the vein that Lynn is suggesting. So we're volunteering for that, if that's acceptable.
Great. Thank you. Can the two of you write the summary as well? All right. So let's assign. Yep. Yes. The answer is yes. You have a buddy. You get to do it together. Okay. So let's give those two actions to Daniel and Paul. Thanks. Okay. I think, what is the next slide? I think that's it. All right. Yeah, this is the next slide. Okay, so we're on to the next topic. No, we're not on to the next topic. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Alisa, because I'm very closely following the CCWG. What was your decision on C1 and C2? If you want to refer to the less complex, it would be very, very delicate and dangerous at this point to talk about this issue, because you implicitly supporting the MEM proposal of ICANN versus the sole member of the CCWG, saying that, yes, your system is complex, throw it away and take the MEM, whereas at this stage there is a discussion. So I think it might be misinterpreted. Could you kindly mention what is your outcome?
So C1, can you go back,
yeah,
please? Sorry. C1 and 2 are not about complexity. C1 is about ICANN being turned into a for-profit corporation. C2 is about the board altering its rules during the recall procedure. My suggestion is that we write in the summary, we point to these in the summary, that these are comments that we received, and that is the extent of our action. Yeah, okay. Okay, so now we can move on to the next. So we are now on the topic of the role of the ICG during the implementation phase, and at the end of this topic, we will also come back to the question about completeness of the proposal, because we essentially talked about these two things together yesterday. So we had that whole conversation yesterday that wandered into what should the role of the ICG be during the implementation phase. And we got some comments in the public comment period that were related to this, which we didn't talk about yesterday. So I thought I would just flag those before we continue the discussion. So we had a few comments about the implementation phase specifically. The one comment saying that the communities needed to determine how they were going to remain involved, given that there are decisions to be made during the implementation phase. Another one that asked us specifically to consider a mechanism that allows the communities to confer and cooperate during the implementation phase. I think we talked kind of at length about the comment received from the ICANN board yesterday, which invited a prioritized list of implementation items. And made some other points as well. And then we also received a comment about the implementation decisions being open and transparent, and again, inviting the ICG to have a continuous coordination role. Then there were also some, I think, kind of more general comments about the post-transition landscape, not necessarily just during implementation, but potentially afterward. One commenter who thought there would be value in ensuring that we have channels open between the operational communities. The comment from the IAB talked about what the existing channels are, about the liaison relationships, and stated a preference for preferring informal coordination going forward. And then again, the ICANN board talked about the need for coordination for registries that are jointly managed. So this is even after everything has been implemented. This is about the ongoing need for coordination. So just wanted to flag those for people, since, you know, we had our own internal discussion about this, but we also got some thoughts from the community. So with that, I think we can pick up where we left off yesterday. I think we had a kind of divergent views yesterday. Some people felt that the ICG, you know, once we send the proposal off to NTIA, we can pack up and go home and disband and get on with our merry lives. Some people thought we should continue. Russ, what would I do without you and your reminders about our party? So, option number one, party and go home. Option number two, I think another option that was floated was that the ICG remains constituted in a sort of very lightweight, you know, if the communities need a way to talk to each other, we can help them do that, or something along those lines. And then I think there was a third idea, which was a little bit more substantial, which is that to the extent that there needs to be some confirmation that as things get implemented, they actually match what is in the proposal or, you know, what the communities were intending, that the ICG would have some sort of role in that verification process of some sort. It's all very vague because we don't know exactly how it's going to work. But that was what I heard yesterday, and I, of course, have a cue. So let's begin with Daniel.
Okay, this is Daniel Kernberg. I'm in the Let's Party and Go Home camp with one very notable caveat, is that I think we shouldn't go home until we have confirmation from NTIA that they have no further questions to us. I think it would be unwise to disband before that's certain. But at the same time, I think we shouldn't wait indefinitely for NTIA to make up its mind to ask us questions. I think we should indicate to them sort of what our endurance is. So to be very concrete, what I think should happen is we have consensus that we're finished with our document, that it's complete. At that point, we ask our chairs to communicate with CWG, and as soon as they get the green light from CWG that their dependencies and their conditions are met, that they then transmit the our deliverable as planned to NTIA via the ICANN board without any further meetings or actions from us. You know, when we're ready, we're ready. Yeah. Why am I suggesting that? I'm suggesting that in order to basically fulfill our charter. We say we make this deliverable, and we shouldn't give any impression to the other groups that we're going into a revision of that, unless they tell us really that they no longer support what they sent us, and then that's a new situation, and I wouldn't even mention it. But we should basically project very strongly that we consider we're done. The only gating function we're waiting on is the CWG thing, because we wrote that into, you know, we said we'd confirm that. But once that's confirmed, it's an automatic action to transmit the whole thing. And we also write into the deliverable that we'll hang around to answer any questions for clarification from NTIA and from NTIA only. Yeah. I'm just charging, you know, to put some stakes in the ground.
I think I'm absolutely opposed to any vagueness in continuation of us as a group. The only condition I'd be willing to even discuss it is concrete language as to a new charter, because I think it's the worst thing that can happen is a committee without a charter, you know, doing work or contemplating work, you know, that's not really specified. So if someone else is going to propose that we stay around beyond what I've outlined, you know, I would only consider it if they provide me language, you know, provide us all language on what that the charter for that should be. And I think I've overstayed my welcome already, so I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Yeah, I have 8 people in the queue, so if you could appreciate your comments, Daniel, but if people could keep it short, that would be good. And we also don't have a ton of time left in the day for all the things that we need to get done. So with that, we'll go to Caboose.
Daniel, address one of the points I wanted to mention, and that is our existing charter is ended for up to the transition. If during the implementation, I don't know what that implementation means. Implementation means full implementation, partial implementations. That is another issue. But if we want to exist after the transition, during the implementation, we need to have a new charter, because the current charter does not address this task. We have done our job, or we are going to do our job, finish it, send it to NTIA, and then waiting whether they approve or not approve. No doubt, until they approve, we should exist. And after they approve that, during the implementation, if we need to exist, we should have a new charter. But I think it is too early to start the discussions, because there are so many things going on, and I don't think that before ICANN 55 there will be any reasons that we start to say whether we should disband or not disband ICG. But it's good to discuss it among ourselves, but nothing going outside, because there's depending so many things. Our work depends to the CCWG in terms of the CWG, because if the CCWG does not meet the CWG, then it has impact on us. So let us wait until something happened, but I agree with the part of the comment of Daniel that if we need to exist after the transition, during implementation, we need to have a new charter to clearly explain what is our mandate and what is our situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus. So that's a good point in that we do have 17 hours meetings planned in Dublin. We could certainly punt this to then. I mean, I guess when we originally put this on the agenda, I was feeling nervous because we had gotten comments about it. People were asking me about it. So I sort of felt like we needed to have some answer. But maybe we don't actually need to have an answer today or any forward progress. Is that what I said yesterday? No, but that's because we were going to discuss it today.
Okay. Maybe I misheard. I was in a different universe. But my recollection is that we said we'll punt this to Dublin, actually.
Oh, I thought we were punting to tomorrow. I thought we were punting to today. Does anyone feel that we need to do this now?
What are we crowding out by doing it?
The things that we do need to get done, like we got to finish your question on RZM, we got INIPR, we have a bunch of topics that we haven't quite talked about yet that came in from the public comments. So I appreciate that. It's the longest queue of the day, and everyone's going to get out of it. But maybe we should just punt to Dublin. I see no objections. Okay, save up all those great thoughts. Bring them with you on the airplane. Great. I love it when things work like that. So let us go to IANA IPR, if that's okay. Yari, are you prepared to do that?
Yes, and can we protect the two images that, or the first one? So on the mailing list I had sent some suggested changes to our proposal, combined proposal, the executive summary, and then part zero. basically just updating the situation with regards to what the communities have said about trademark and domain name issues, that there's now more agreement than there was at the beginning of our public comment period, and then indicating that the communities are working on this topic, or they're coordinating this, and that work remains, and that the questions that we've received during the comment period are relating to this topic that they will be answered or processed as part of the implementation work, rather than something that we do now. And wow, that's really small. Let me make that bigger. So the main changes here are just that we're indicating that the CWG has also provided an indication that they can live with the requirements from the numbers proposal. And when I say requirements, I actually mean the requirements that they had, not the suggested example implementation, which was ITF Trust. I don't try to say anything about that at the moment. So maybe I'll just let you read that for a sec and see if you have any comments. So there's two parts here. One, this is the longer one, and then there's another part that is condensed version of this on the executive summary. It's in the email visible as well. Daniel?
Just an idea. Since this is settled, does it need to be in the executive summary? Do we need to call attention to it in the executive summary? Because we consider it settled, so it's done, right? So we don't need to, we can actually delete it from there because it's not an issue anymore.
Yeah, I think that would be possible. I mean, we have a section on compatibility. We probably have to have something empty in that section to say that there are currently no identified compatibility issues. Anybody else?
Yep.
We can still discuss on the mailing.
You in the Adobe room. Although I honestly don't know who the first person is who was in the queue.
Thomas?
Oh.
MOH?
Yeah, and you took away yours, so if there is no one who's willing to speak on this, are we all okay, or are you just still reading and wondering, and you need more time?
It's Paul Wilson here. Just for clarity, what we seem to be saying is that we will stick with the proposal for the IETF Trust, and that is now supported by everyone. And if that's the case, then that's that certainly sounds like a solution. I thought that there had been some enduring problem with the IETF Trust as an option, and that's why the ICANN board came up with an alternative solution or an alternative proposal, which was to establish a different trust to hold the IP. So just, I may have missed a conclusion of that discussion, but I just thought I'd put it on the table and make sure that we actually have covered it.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we, as far as I know, we haven't actually decided that in essentially any of the communities that that's the right solution. What I was trying to do is that we have a requirement that essentially states that it shall not be the AENA functions operator that's holding the IPR, but rather an independent entity. And that's the requirement, and then the ITF trust part of that is the example implementation. And looking at this text now, you know, maybe that could be clarified that we would actually use the words requirement and then, you know, maybe an example or a suggested example implementation. And then it would be easier to understand how the word requirement then later, what that means in the subsequent text.
Paul again, yes, I think that third paragraph really isn't clear to me, at least, that you know, the only example that's mentioned in any way is the IETF trust, and so it may be taken that the IETF trust would just be the de facto default solution. So if it is still a case of IETF trust or a similar independent acceptable option, then I think that should be said explicitly.
I think that's reasonable.
Could I jump in? Is anybody else in the queue? Just who is I'm sorry. I haven't heard about this alternative ICANN board proposal. Is that something that came up in this famous 3-hour phone call? No. The ICANN board made a statement. They did not come up with an alternative proposal. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, we're in or very close to implementation phase here, and I'm not very comfortable with people coming up with completely new ideas as to where this is going to go at this stage of the game. Also, the legal advice that the CWG received, the main argument they made against taking it away from ICANN was that if we created a new trust, that would be a very complicated and potentially contentious process. I thought that the IETF trust was coming up with all kinds of statements regarding its capability of doing this. So I hope that we are still talking about the IETF trust as the only actual known implementation channel for this requirement.
Okay, I'll let the queue go forward. I'll just briefly respond to you. I have a personal opinion about this, how we should do this, but I was trying to go by what the communities have said, and so far my understanding is that they have sort of explicitly communicated, CWG, for instance, that they, you know, they are willing to live with this, the requirement part of it. And you know, of course, we have opinions about how the implementation should be done, but that doesn't have to be part of this. Caboos.
The discussions now, after the intervention of Milton, is that we need to modify paragraph 3. We mentioned that at the beginning of paragraph, as a result of discussions, or in view of that, the available options currently on the table is the IETF trust. That means we do not exclude other options it's come, but we don't have anything as such. So we try to make it a little bit more qualifying explanations rather than deterministic that is the only way. But this is the only this is the options that we have on the table, IETF trust. That other options are not excluded, but as Milton mentioned, we have not studied that and we don't know, and it is better not to comment on that at this stage. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Joe?
Thank you, Joseph Alida, for the record. Not having a horse in whether it's the IETF trust or not, just I will say a plain reading of the addition of the last sentence in the second paragraph makes it seem like CWG has agreed with all the elements mentioned in the first paragraph. So the reading of that does give the impression that the IETF trust has been approved. Whether good, bad, or indifferent, I have no opinion, but it's just plain reading-wise, that's an issue. The only other issue I would raise, which I think nothing here is incorrect related to that, but it was raised in at least, I think, two or three comments, and I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to clarify, because it's implicit in everything we say, and we mean it to be that. But there were a couple of comments that asked for the clarification of the specific statement that that it's being held in trust for all of the communities. And I think that that statement is actually a good clarification statement to make, and it is rooted in the comments we received.
Thank you. Good points. And let's see. What's next? Alan.
Alan Barrett. So I think the CWG stated that it was fine with the principles in the or the requirements in the numbers proposal, and I don't think it stated that the IETF trust is the answer. I think we that's an implementation matter. We need to figure out whether it will be the IETF trust in its current form or whether there'll be some changes made to the way the IETF trust operates or whether there'll be something new. That is still an open question for implementation. So I think I agree with Joe that the text in at the end of paragraph 2 needs to be changed to make it clear that we're not settled on the IETF trust. Then I think Paul Wilson said that there were some problems with the IETF trust proposal. I don't think that's clear either. I think some questions were raised, but I don't think it's clear that the questions are indeed problems. That's still to be worked out.
Thanks. Mohammed, did you want to speak?
Yeah, thank you, Harry. I'd just like to add my voice to the people who talked about the confusion in the second paragraph. As well, my understanding that it hasn't been settled and is still open, but I think the essence of the CWG and the board statement that both are welcoming a third-party holder of the IPR, they did not actually agree or specify the IETF trust. So I think it needed to be updated with this principle in mind.
Yes, and as noted, I mean, many of you have commented on that. So it was not the intent to try to claim that that's been accepted, only the requirement part, and that will be clarified. Alisa?
My suggestion would be that you maybe go back to the public comment that we received from the CWG, because it's very explicit about what they are agreeing to versus not agreeing to, and that I think may yield edits to all three of the paragraphs, potentially. In particular, in talking to some of the folks in the CWG before they put that public comment in, I think the fact that the language in the first paragraph here doesn't precisely mirror the language from the CRISP proposal created some confusion. In this paragraph, it says the IETF being suggested as the repository. Those are words that we made up that aren't actually in the CRISP proposal. The way that they phrase it is a little bit different. So I think what's imperative here is that this text exactly reflect the text from the CRISP proposal to the extent possible, given editorial issues. And I would also say that if it creates confusion, which it appears that it does, that the part about the IETF trust could be dropped entirely from this section, since what we're trying to reflect here is what the proposal actually is. What the proposal is for the holder of the IPR to be independent of the IANA functions operator. That's what the communities have agreed to. Everything else is an implementation detail. So that's my suggestion. Also, we do have another topic or two that we are going to try to get to before 3:15 when we break, so just might want to close your queue.
Yes, let's close the queue. And I like the idea of dropping that part of the text entirely. That actually makes a lot of sense. And Narelle?
I think what I was, Narelle Clark for the record, I think what I was just about to raise has been clarified by what Alyssa has just said. This text I was originally going to voice some concerns about whether or not, well, you know, what if the IETF Trust cannot take this? What will happen then? What does that do to this whole process? But I think Alyssa has taken us back to the more generic form of words that is proposed, and that then leaves a whole bunch of things open. It doesn't solve my bigger problem, which is that, you know, what if this does all fall apart in implementation? But, you know, that's just an implementation detail. I'll thank you, pass.
Thanks. And Kavos?
Yes, with respect to the part added to the second paragraph, I think it is not appropriate to delete that. You have to retain something, but not the one is appeared on the board. Perhaps we should seek to the origin of this idea and perhaps verbatim put it, what was the views of the CWG. And we should be careful whether it is the view of the CWG or it is the view of the chair of the CWG. It's two different issues. So if it is on the CWG, we should put it verbatim what they mentioned, but not totally dropping and not dropping the issue of the IETF trust. Otherwise, what else would be so? At the paragraph 3, we should mention there is one option available on the table at this stage. So we should mention that clearly. But could you clarify in the second paragraph, the addition, where it's come from, where it has indicated, and is indicated the same language as you put or indicated differently? Thank you.
Kavos, can I push back just a little bit? Because I think what I'm hearing from around the table here is that the important part is the requirement, and the IETF trust part of it is causing confusion. But what we really are trying to convey here is that you know, the communities are on this topic and they are coordinating, and it will all be solved, and it's an implementation issue. Now, there are interesting questions about the implementation issue. Exactly what can we do legally in IETF trusts, or do we have to have some other form? Those are to be determined. But I don't know if it makes our life any easier if we add something about the IETF trust here. We still have to do the same thing, and I think it's important that our proposal reflects that this is kind of under control from the perspective of the plan, and then there's some implementation steps, and that's all. Am I making sense, or do you still believe that we need to list IETF trust here?
No. I was talking about second paragraph, the addition. If you put whatever we receive from CWG rather than what is there, so what they have said really with respect to that has indicated that they can work. This is what they said exactly, or this is what you infer from or interpret from their statement. So it is better you put exactly what they said. Thank you.
Yes, yeah, I will do that. So in summary, what I heard, we're going to delete the executive summary part because that's no longer required. We'll use the requirement word in the first paragraph. We are going to use exactly the same language as the CRISP proposal had and what the CWG response used. And we're going to say that the IPR is held for all communities. I mean, that was kind of obvious, but it needs to be explicit. It wasn't so far. So with that, I will make another version before next week, and moving on to other topics.
I think we should take our break right now, and then we'll come back at 3:35. 3:35, and we will pick up Milton's RZM question and try to get that done so we can get it out the door to the CWG.
Hello, Lisa. This
3:35. Is that okay? Half an hour.
Midnight here. I'm going to leave you now.
Jean-Jacques, for staying up so late.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone. Just a reminder that there's food over near the back of the room, fresh fruit, nuts, drinks for everyone to enjoy. Thank you.
Okay, let's get started again. We're going to start hopefully with a very quick item. If we can project Milton's latest email to the list. Okay, so this is the latest. Go ahead, Milton, if you have.
Okay, well, this is a question that's reformulated. Most of the edits were simply improved language and more precise specification of the nature, the part of the proposal we took it from. So this is basically the same question with, as I said, some improved language. I don't suppose you want me to read it, so you can all read it yourselves on the list or up there on the screen. It's basically citing that part of their proposal that talks about the root zone maintenance and IANA functions operator roles and asks whether whether CWG also intended to imply that ICANN or the IFO should not become the root zone maintainer without the proposal to make that change first being subject to a wide community consultation. And we also asked them what they mean by a wide community consultation. So in terms of the, who was it that suggested that we ask ourselves how difficult it would be to answer these questions? Is this the Mundy scale? On the Mundy scale of 1 to 10, I would give this a 3, in the sense that I think it fundamentally is clarifying what their intentions were rather than rethinking what they proposed. But there is some potential for fractures of how people might interpret that, but I don't think those things will crop up based on my reading. And also, I think if the people who are integrated with the NAMES OC can make it clear how many public comments were concerned about this, I think there would be even less trouble coming up with an answer to this that basically says, yes, there would need to be a community consultation.
So by implication, do you think that the time frame for response here could be our preferred by October 7, but acceptable by October 14, assuming we send it today or tomorrow or something?
Yeah, I think if by expected by ICANN 54 means October 14th at the latest, is that what you're asking me? Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's about all we could expect.
Okay. Sorry, I jumped the queue. I think you have a queue.
I hope I'm not running the queue.
I can run the queue if you would like.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Joe.
Thank you, Joseph Alda. I guess I had have a question, not about any of the substance of the question. I think the substance of the question is perfectly fine. But the question says we want the answer to this question. And I'm not sure what we do with the answer to this question since we've decided it's not in our scope to deal with the issue. I thought we needed the question to be answered so that the community got the answer because it was clear to us that this was a question of the community. We were forwarding it as a relevant question of the community that is relevant to a process that is not ours. So in some ways, I would expect NTIA to be given the answer and us to be copied on it, or the NTIA and the two contracting parties to be given the question for the answer and us to be copied on the answer. But the way it's phrased is we are the exclusive person requesting the answer, and I'm not sure that makes perfect sense to me because I don't know what we do with the answer.
Well, we could say the public comment period raised questions for the CWG, but I think, number one, the answer is it's important for the CWG itself to clarify. We've already heard again from Keith Davidson that certain stakeholders, if this question is answered in a certain way, could withdraw support for their proposal. And the message needs to go to the NTIA that in terms of how they handle the modification of the root zone maintainer function, that it should be done in a way that is consistent with the CWG proposal. And the CWG proposal means that you can't change those roles and you can't merge those functions into ICANN without either wide consultation or consensus or both, then I think a lot of people who made those comments will feel that their comments have been addressed.
Yeah, I don't, as I said, I didn't disagree with an iota of the substance of the comment. So we're on all fours that this question needs an answer, absolutely. We're on all fours that this question was asked legitimately within our comment process. The question is, if we see a dependency between the answer to this question and our ICG process, then absolutely the answer comes to us. But when we were having the conversation and I mentioned there could be dependencies, there didn't seem to be a whole lot of appetite for highlighting this as a specific dependency. I don't have a problem if we agree that this is a dependency, we want an answer, then I think the question is phrased correctly. If the answer is we were only passing this along because it wasn't part of our process, then I think the phrasing just has to be that this is being sent, it's relevant to our process for us to be aware of, but we're not taking any action related to it. So it's just a question as to form, and I know we're running short on time, so I don't want to labor this because at the end of the day, this is not a fall-on-your-sword issue for me, but it was just I wanted to make sure we're addressing the answer to the right community.
Well, I don't think there's any question that there are dependencies. We state that in the write-up that I did, which we still have to revise in that memo that I did, which was discussed this morning. So the NTIA recognized that aspects of the INF functions contract are inextricably intertwined with the VeriSign cooperative agreement, and we assert that it's difficult to assess the ICG proposal's impact without knowing how these roles or if these roles will be modified.
Daniel, and then Russ Mundy.
Daniel Kallenbeck, thank you. What Joe said, basically, and as a suggestion for a way forward, I think this needs to be bookended by first the motivation of this. It shouldn't start, the ICG has a question, it should start, we have received comments in this vein, and therefore we think this needs to be clarified. And the other bookend at the end needs to be, and I'm totally with Joe here, is that what the disposition of the answer would be. I think from the discussion that I've heard here in this room, I think if we say we received these public comments and these comments, and therefore we raise this question, or this needs to be clarified, we can say at the end that it needs to be clarified outside our process, and we have no disposition for the answer, so we will not take action on the answer. And I think those two things are essential. I would be very uncomfortable if this went out like this. Besides, it's very impolite to just barge into it and say we have a question. Yeah. And I agree with what Kavush said earlier. You know, a reply is expected is not the right way to phrase this either. So that needs to be improved.
Okay. The
reply is expected is in brackets. We had a humorous conversation about that this morning. So you're basically saying you want me to put based on comments received before the ICG has a question?
My suggestion was to say the ICG thinks that this issue needs to be clarified.
And my rationale for this is it's not our question because we have no disposition for the answer. We just think it needs to be clarified and other people have to hear the answer, not us.
And by ICG disposition, what do you mean exactly?
What do we do when we receive the answer? And as Joe has said, there's not much we can do.
Go ahead, Russ Mundy.
Yeah, Russ Mundy for the record. I think I have the answer for what we do with the answer that comes back. And what we do is have some text in our summary of public comments as to whatever we hear back. And, you know, we're not going to, if you will, do anything actively with it or in terms of telling somebody they can or can't do something, but we write it down in our summary. And obviously, the summary of public comments will be available to NTIA, and I expect them to read it. So I think that's a reasonable thing to do with the response.
Yes, I once again agree with Daniel that we don't have a question, but we receive a question. Perhaps we should say, in examining the comment received by ICG, the following question was raised or was raised, and then we table the question, and at the end of that, CWG is requested to comment on the matter for any further action, comma, as appropriate. Who takes the action, we don't know, but we ask them to comment on the matter. And we say that in examining the comments, we have encountered or we have considered or we have faced or we have identified the following question and raise the question, and then ask them clarifications or comments for any further action, comma, as appropriate. Thank you.
Go ahead, Milton.
So I've modified the first sentence as follows. Based on comments received in the ICG's public comment period, the ICG seeks clarification from the CWG on the following matter. Blah, 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 blah. And by the way, the idea that these subtle changes in, I don't know, language are going to, like, shake the earth, I don't know, it's just...
Okay. So...
What is the end of the paragraph?
Was that?
Yeah. Further clarification for any subsequent actions or if required or as appropriate, that we don't take any actions, but if required by somebody...
To repeat what you said the first time, precisely as you said it 3 minutes ago.
3 minutes ago that CWG is requested to provide comments or clarification for any further action, comma, as appropriate. We may not take action, but someone else may take action. Thank you.
So, last sentence now is, the CWG is requested to provide comment or clarification for any further action as appropriate.
Yeah, for any further action, comma, as appropriate.
So, my suggestion, I'm sort of wondering if we would close on this now. It sounds like we need to do a little more tweaking, potentially, and let people look at it and not just edit it through the air. So take Kavus's suggestion into account and recirculate on the list, and hopefully we can close on this on the list in the next couple days. That's my suggestion. We have a few other things we need to cover, and we have 70 minutes left. Okay, so let us return to the topic of completeness, because that's one thing we said we were going to do today. So So yesterday when we were talking about completeness, we got into this whole discussion about all of the implementation items and prioritizing them and so on. There are a couple things that we need to do, I think. We have a section in Part Zero that talks about whether the proposal is complete, and we asked the community that same question, and we got a lot of responses. So one thing we need to do is figure out if we need to summarize the responses in the summary document. I would say probably yes is the answer to that. We need to decide whether there's something we need to write in the proposal itself about its completeness. I think, again, my answer would be yes, although I'm not sure what we say precisely or what we would change from what we already have there. And then there's a question about providing, if the ICG has any role in laying out what all the implementation steps are, what their ordering will be, or prioritizing them. So to me, those are the three key questions. We don't have to know what we're going to say necessarily for each of those three, but I think the first question is, do we need to do any or all of those things? Daniel, are you in the queue, or is that from before?
It was from before, but this is Daniel. It was from before, but I'll just try to give a first shot at the answer to your question. I think we need to, we definitely need to address the completeness comments that we got. I think it would be a gaping hole if we didn't. I think as they are projected, number one is a no-brainer because that's just what we intend to do anyway. So we've said actually in the proposal, so people who make these comments are reemphasizing what we're saying, you know, that this needs to be done before. And to me personally, the rest of them just look like implementation issues. And if we get sort of rough consensus on that, then we're basically done with this. Just somebody needs to write it up, and I'm not volunteering.
Okay. Thank you. Joe.
Thanks, Joe Aladeff. I think yes as to summarization. I think if we have the raw material where we could develop the inventory of what the implementation elements are, that's fine. I'm not sure that we do, but I think we probably within the around the table have the expertise to do that. But then I don't think we are in any position to prioritize implementation steps. I don't think we have the knowledge, and I don't think it's within our remit. I think to the extent that that question needs to be answered, it needs to be answered back to the communities, and I don't think it impacts their proposal. I think it's just a question of saying these things we think need to be done in this order if that's something they can say. So I think one is only in our remit. Two is likely in our remit, but we might need to call out for help on completeness or at least make sure people validate that we got the list right. And then three is, I think, absolutely outside of our remit.
Anyone disagree with that? Milton.
No, I'm. Where does this list 1, 2, 3 coming from?
Sorry. So number one is the three were the three tasks. The first one was, do we need to summarize these comments in the summary document? The second one was, do we need to create the inventory of implementation issues, which we already did a little bit in the proposal, but it's not complete. And number three is, do we attempt to prioritize them, which was a request from at least one comment. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I don't think we need to prioritize them. I don't think anybody, except maybe Elise, proposed that we prioritize them. I think the question is, do we serve as a clearinghouse for the resolution and communication of these issues after we've created this list in number two?
Go ahead, Elise.
I just want to note that I did bring it up in the meeting. However, I believe the ICANN board sent in a formal response in the comment period with that. So it's also one of the comments from the multi-stakeholder group. Yep. Okay. Keith.
Keith Davidson. Just in terms of the summarise, I guess it depends what you're going to do with the document. If the document's going to be publicly available, then I think we do need to summarise and incorporate the additional comments that have come in along the way. Otherwise, it's appearing that we're ignoring the submissions of some that have raised some fairly valid issues that we've discussed along the way.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the intent, is for it to be part of this public document. Daniel. Joe, are you still in the queue? Okay, Daniel and then Joe.
Just to talk to Alyssa's 1, 2, and 3, I fully agree one needs to be done. Two, I think we should do, because we already have some of these things, and as you say, we have the expertise around the table, but we should be very careful in giving it, to not give it the appearance that it's a plan, and also not give it the appearance that it's a complete list. So I formulated something like this: we should summarize all the implementation steps that we are aware of at this point, and not put them into a time sequence. Not give it a, you know, like, this is the implementation plan, and we should very carefully say, this is the list that we're aware of, and it's doesn't make any claim to be complete. And number three, no, totally outside our remit.
Joe.
Thank you, Jess Valadev. It was actually just to get a clarification from Milton on his last point of when you said being around to make sure that the implementation occurs, would that then potentially conflict with implementation perhaps occurring after our lifespan is exhausted? So that was just a question, because I think some of these implementations, the ones that are there before transition, are likely to occur while we are still here, but there are some that are going to be occurring afterwards, and I don't think we can take any responsibility for those. So I was just clarifying that you weren't meaning a longer term than presumed.
I think you're getting into the topic of how long we exist, and I thought we had agreed to defer that issue.
We did. So right now we're just talking about what do we need to write down in text. Caboose.
Yes, in order to address the issue raised by Daniel, perhaps we should put at the beginning of the list or somewhere saying following are or includes and not limited, and add without any order of priority nor with any dates of priority or priority dates. We just list them as a list, as a shopping list. Thank you.
Yep, good points. So I think people are generally in agreement about what the course of action is here. We have two things that need to happen. We need a summary of the comments written, and we need the inventory of the implementation steps appropriately caveated. Does anyone want to take that on before I try to identify someone? The person who I was going to name is just said no. Really, Russ Mundy? You were my person, and I was going to ask for this. We haven't actually given you that many items lately.
but I have, as the chair of FSAC.
Oh. Your
no,
boss
go
is going
to
complain to me.
No, no, move on. Sorry.
And when we need the output by?
So we're going to talk about that shortly, but provisionally, what I've been thinking is all of the summary tasks would be October 6th.
which is a while since that document potentially doesn't really need to be done as soon. And the inventory list, that's a good question. Would be on the next Sunday timeline, like September 27th. You're allowed to say no.
The next week for me is just
okay.
Unbelievable.
I will try to find someone offline. But, okay. I'll do that when we take a little break. So that brings us to the set of things we haven't talked about yet, which starts on some other slide. Could we go to slide 36, please? So, process issues. This came up briefly earlier today, and you can tell this was like the very late part of the night when I was putting the slide deck together. I ran out of energy. So there were some commenters who raised issues about the processes that were run. And I didn't have time to summarize the comments, but so sort of the same questions. I think we certainly need to summarize them for the summary document. But the question is whether there's anything we need to say in the proposal itself in response to commenters who criticized the process or who lauded the process. So that's the question. Joe, did you want to speak to this? I know that you had focused on this a little bit in terms of what people thought of the process.
Well, I think the major complaints related to the process were issues that actually were raised to us before we finished this proposal. And in at least one of those cases, those issues were then forwarded to the communities, and the decision was they were addressed. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure. There were not as many process issues in the other ones that I read. That doesn't mean they didn't exist in other ones. I will say I didn't make an effort to capture all the people who said nice things about our process, so we may need to go back and do a little spelunking if we're going to try to capture the commitment of people to our good things, because I was taking the glass half empty approach to the comments, not the glass half full approach. And so, you know, but I unless a lot of other comments came up with process issues, I don't think that was the major problem that the comments raised. The only other issue, which is a little unrelated to process, was the issue from a couple of comments related to linguistic timing, cost of participation in the process, which are just structural elements of the process that you can't avoid. Again, something I don't know that we can deal with.
Milton?
Yeah, I paid a lot of attention to the process comments when I was processing the comments. It's getting late. And there's basically three sorts of comments that we might want to pay attention to. One of them are the people who reject the legitimacy of the entire process because the U.S. government set the parameters. And then there are a couple of developing world commentators who said, you know, we don't understand what's going on. We don't feel like we had the full opportunity to grasp this and participate. And there's two or three of those. And there are multiple, maybe a dozen or more explicit expressions of how inclusive and diversified the participation was, which I could pluck out and send you if you want specifics, or you could just make the more general statement, which is, I guess, where we were going. So that's my overview of it.
surprisingly, there's no very specific things, you know, in the numbers OC, this particular thing happened. But I think those were caught at the first stage rather than at this stage, right?
Okay. Milton, if you are willing to do that, I think I can take on the task of synthesizing that into some words. But if you're willing to do the list of them for me, since you read the comments in detail, that would be great.
You want a list of what exactly? The particular commenters and the nature?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you have some classification, like these were the people who thought the process went well, that would be helpful. So I'll take that as an action. Okay. Seeing no other hands go up on this, we can move to the next slide, Yanis. Great. So we also asked a question about the institutionalization of the NTIA criteria over time. Does anyone who any of the reviewers who reviewed a lot of comments want to speak to this? Again, this I didn't really have time to make a summary slide. This was the end of everything.
Sorry, I'm working on the process comments. I'm tuning you out.
I was going to suggest also that I can take the action on this one and try to write the summary, since this is part of that defense of the proposal thing that we need to do. Okay. I'll do that then, so I'll take that one. Then we have the editorial things, which is in a different part of the deck. Oh, you guys are so on top of it. Okay. So we did have a couple of requests that were much more sort of editorial in nature, and I don't know that we need to go through them point by point here. I was, again, thinking that I could look back at the text and, maybe we should actually go through them point by point because they're each a little bit different. So in the first one, this actually would go, letter A would go with whoever's going to create the inventory of implementation issues, I think, because this was a point raised by the IETF that there were some things missing from the implementation issues list. So that, I think, goes together with whoever takes that action. The second one, someone noted that the IETF proposal itself is a draft that has expired, because that's what happens to drafts when they don't get published as RFCs, they expire. Go ahead, Yari, do you want to speak to this?
They don't actually expire, it just has an expiration
it
date.
Doesn't
it doesn't expire in the state that it's in the process, just to be clear.
Right. But so can you just clarify that it will remain in with an expiration date that's in the past until after we are done with our process, correct? Just in case.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Nobody thinks it's a problem. Okay. Good. We got a suggestion that the diagram that we included, which came from X-Plane, was not clear in the sense that the arrows between the operational communities and PTI versus ICANN were not all quite lining up to what the proposal itself actually says. So this one, again, I'm happy to take that on, having worked with X-Plane on that diagram at length, and I can make a proposal back to the list, and particularly to the numbers folks, since it was related to something unclear about the numbers relationship. Everyone's okay with that? Okay. Then the last one, it's not really an editorial issue, but I didn't know where else to stick it. There were a bunch of comments about freedom and free speech in relationship to the IANA functions. And I thought it's possible there were enough of these that something needed to be clarified, but I wanted to hear from folks who read more of these and if anyone thinks anything needs to be clarified in this respect. Cavus, go ahead.
Attending the working party 4 of CCWG, which partly addressing this issue after tens and tens of meetings and hundreds of pages of background document, there is no conclusion rather than a very high level statements and so on and so forth. So I don't know how we want to address this issue. So I don't think that we need to take any action on that. Thank you.
Joe?
Yeah, the majority of the comments I read that raised free speech did it in that any transition of IANA would harm free speech, and then that was repeated in every category as part of the answer to every question, which does not, to me, raise to the level of something that necessarily needs to be responded to. But the one question is in the editorial issues, and I don't remember the number of this document, but I remember there was in one submission a really big thing about the inclusion of a document that they didn't want to have included, ICP-1 or some thing of that nature, and just a question. Oh, you're ready? Okay. If that was dealt with, then I'll stand down. But I just remember that was a significantly large issue in one of the editorial requests. But as far as the free speech things, I don't, you know, I think in some things, some of these are just out of scope because they just go against the entire structure of the concept. And I don't think those are necessarily comments we need to deal with. But I do think at some point we need to talk about some things were out of scope because we seem to have taken that off the table as one of our comment parameters. And I think out of scope is a comment parameter that is useful also.
Okay, thank you. Keith Drazik.
Okay, thanks, Alyssa. Keith Drazik for the transcript. Following on Cavus's comments and also I think supporting Joe's, the topic of freedom of expression and free flow of information is something that has been discussed in the CCWG accountability. It's a topic that actually, if you go back to NTIA's testimony at some of the congressional hearings a year ago, that Larry Strickling actually referred to the freedom of expression and the free flow of information specifically in his testimony in the context of the NTIA's criteria, openness of the Internet and things like that. So I think that's probably where the linkage came from. But I think it is more appropriately addressed in the CCWG accountability and not in the, in coming into the ICG. So I think it's reasonable to acknowledge this, say it's out of scope for the ICG and our work, and refer it to the ongoing human rights discussions that are taking place in the accountability working group. Thanks.
Okay. That seems like a reasonable way forward. Cavus, are you back in the queue?
Yes, because I think I heard that you want to take action on that. Or?
No. It's, acknowledge that we received the comments, and that's it. So, I think the action there is to acknowledge receipt of the comments related to freedom and free speech in the summary document, and we'll find an owner for that. Okay. That brings us back to broad community support, which is somewhere else in the deck. Way at the beginning. Eight, I think it's slide 8. Okay, well, this question is not phrased so well anymore. So maybe we should have rephrased. I think the question we wanted to come back to was, do we think the proposal has broad community support? Because now we may be in a position to answer that. we have been through all of the categories of comments that came out of the analysis. So unless anyone has a comment that they feel that wasn't addressed, we can talk about this. Go ahead, Cavus.
Yes, this is a question came to our mind. What is the criteria of board support? 80%, 75%, 100%? What is the criteria? Thank you.
Thanks. Daniel, are you in the queue to answer that? Go ahead.
Sure. Our charter is to produce this document. And actually, our charter mentions, I don't have it on my screen right now, something about the process and the support. And it is not operationalized in terms of percentages. It's operationalized in terms of asking us to make that determination. And that's, I think, why Elissa put it on here. So to answer Cavus's question, I think it's subjective for each and every individual in this room. But as a collective, we have to get consensus that this is the case. Otherwise, we cannot proceed. So, yeah, it's subjective. So that's my answer, my personal answer to Cavus's question. So getting to answer the question, I've thought about this long and hard personally. I've witnessed the development of the proposals very closely in two of the operational communities. I've reviewed, I believe, the majority of the public comments that we've had. I've made myself available in various fora to hear people's opinions about this. Specifically, as our proposal got more mature, both separately in the operational communities, and then as we have collated it, and my personal judgment is that yes, this has it has community support in all dimensions. So I believe we can move forward.
Thank you. Lynn?
Lynn Sainamore. I was actually going to refer to the consensus building document that we used for ICG, which Cavus was actually instrumental in pulling together. And I think there's a useful description there which says, I won't read the whole paragraph, but basically determinations of consensus do not fit into a formula, and the concept of what is a small minority will need to be determined on a case-by-case basis. It just goes on to say, I think probably more relevantly, while consensus of all stakeholder communities is the objective, it seems clear from the NTIA requirements that the objection of a majority of an operational community will preclude the ability. Sorry, I'm actually reading from the wrong parts. Let me just stop and say that I think actually the notions we had about how we determine consensus and what we were looking for in the processes from the OCs as they determine consensus can be applied to this work here. And I do think that we have met that, and that in fact does enjoy a broad level of support.
Thank you, Lynn. Cavus?
My difficulty from the very beginning was this NTIA expression, broad community support, which was undefined and very vague. So if we avoid to refer to broad, saying that based on the comment received, the view of the ICG is that support for the proposal is achieved or is meant or for something like this, but without talking about broad support, because it is difficult to say broad support. We have to mention it is dependent on the case-by-case issue, subject-by-subject, but we should not talk about broad support because we will be asked what is the broad support. In fact, I have been asked in many areas by the people that what do you, ICG, believe broad support, and my reply was that this is not the text of ICG, this is the text of the NTIA. They said the broad support, and I don't know what they mean by broad support. But we put it in a more cautious manner, not saying that we have any interpretation what this broad support is. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. I mean, I think one thing we could do is describe the breadth of the support if we wanted to, because we got comments from all different kinds of commenters, I would say. So that's one thing. We could try to be descriptive if we wanted to explain what the breadth of the support looks like to us. Martin.
Thanks, Alyssa. Martin Boyle here. So I actually quite like your proposal as a way of moving forward. I think, though, there's also the fact that the three operational communities themselves have been through processes that were essentially based on developing consensus proposals. And that, in my mind, is actually very important. It goes back to the fact that, you know, even with all the difficult discussions that we've had in CWG, that we've never, ever had to resort to voting. It's always been a coming to that balanced decision. So I think that is something that is worth reflecting. And then the second thing I think is of going through the proposals, and I'm sure I saw one of your charts that did this, that gave you some sort of idea of how much the comments that we received were supportive of that outcome. And again, without actually wanting to go into definition of the broadness of the support that there was from that, something that was very much more than just a bare majority of getting through, and it came from across a wide range of the communities. So, and that's where I'd link back to your suggestion, which I think is admirable. Thank you.
Thanks. Joe?
Thank you, Jess Valadoff. I'd actually go one step further back than Martin, and that is the composition of this group and the fact that this group has been liaising with its stakeholder communities, and those stakeholder communities have had an opportunity to interact through this group throughout the entire process. So we didn't just limit ourselves to the fact that, I mean, we had an interactive process among the stakeholders that are represented in this group. The communities then did their own outreach processes, and finally there was an open consultation process related to the final proposal itself that was the amalgam of the three proposals that already had gotten endorsement through an open community-based process. So I think this is a very much belt and suspenders exercise that can be highly touted in its procedural forms that actually were all designed to develop perhaps to Cavus's point, what we can talk about is there was a broad community exposure, and then we can say that there was a majority of people that supported the proposal as a result of the comments we have seen, because I think the breadth of the exposure was very substantial without having to make a judgment on characterizing the support as being broad or not.
Lynn, are you still in the queue? No. Okay. Cavus.
Yes. Let me repeat what I said in CCWG. If you ask a politician a question, he never say yes or no. If it is a French, says écoutez. If it's English, says well, but never say yes or no. So we ICG should not directly reply to that. That has broad community support or not. We have no problem to refer to the support of communities, operational communities. There is no doubt they have supported. But broad community support means beyond that. So we should try to not directly answer that question. Put in a way that it is descriptive, but not yes and no answers.
Okay. I think we're actually... Go ahead.
Michael Neal. I'm just wondering, it's not about formulation, it's also of giving the message that the NTIA needs to say our criteria are met. So are we satisfied with the diplomatic formulation that this is the message that is needed?
I think some of this might shake out when we actually have words written down in front of us, possibly. Because I think I am hearing support for us to describe support. Let me try that again. I think the people in the room are in favor of us describing what we think the support for the proposal is. And I think from that it will be quite clear to anyone who wants, or I shouldn't say it will be clear, but anyone who wants to then pass judgment about its breadth can do so. And I believe these words will be under a heading that we already have in the document called broad community support. So I think we can finesse this in such a way that everyone is satisfied with what we say and that we reflect, I think, what Joe and others have said, which is that we all come from communities where many people seem to be in favor of this thing. So we can say that more eloquently. I see no other hands going up. Caboose, is your hand still up? Or no, you're done. Okay. Okay. So I believe we have an action item to describe the community support for the proposal. And I think this one goes to the chairs because we already said that we were going to do this yesterday, essentially. So, okay. So with that, let us take a 10-minute break. We will work on all of the action items and the wrap-up, and we will come back with a list of what needs to happen next and what we're going to do going forward. I think that's right. Okay. So we'll be back at 4:35. You have 7 minutes. All right, we're going to wrap up here. So please come on back and find out what action items we assigned to you while you were chatting. Mm-hmm. We set a record. I know, really, it's like musical chairs for action items. We set a record. We have 20 action items coming out of this meeting. So it's pretty fun times. Plus the ones from yesterday. That's true. There's 20 action items. This is only from today? 20 from today? Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So we have separated these into three buckets according to the timing. First priority are the ones that may result in us communicating something back to the operational communities. So as discussed, if we need to do that and we want feedback from them before Dublin, we need to do that very quickly. So here we have the ones that people took. Milton has the RZM one. We have the sub-teams for all the PTI tasks. Martin took the one about CCTLD issues. And then we had an editorial thing on one of the slides. So just quickly, does anyone think there's – we will wordsmith these a little bit more because we did this very quickly. But is there anything missing as regards to something we might do that will generate – that could generate a communication with the operational communities? Okay. Ah, okay. So so we just need to confirm that people are ready for that to go. Okay, I'll just respond and ask for objections. Yeah. Okay. All right. So then moving on, the next set are the ones where people have signed up to write text for part zero of the proposal. So these are the ones where we're giving people essentially a week, a little more than a week, to get an initial draft of this so that we can then have some back and forth on our mailing list before the call and try to hopefully finalize a bunch of these bits of text. One thing we didn't really talk about is sort of the group editing of this. I would suggest that people, when you're doing this, send in, you know, separate documents. Don't edit directly on the Word version of the proposal because the formatting is sensitive. We'll have when we're all done with these, we'll have the secretariat incorporate them together. yeah, exactly. Going to be another late night. Okay, so that's basically a week from today. There's a whole bunch of those. Anything missing? Okay. Then the third set, so these are the ones for the summary document. And so we put the deadline a little further out on these so that everyone isn't working on all their things at once. My assumption has been we may be able to, quote-unquote, finalize the summary document in around the same time that we are meeting in Dublin, but if it takes a little bit longer, that's not the end of the world either. So if we can take a little more time with this one. And Lynn has graciously agreed to at least take a first cut at the completeness one. So thank you, Lynn. I owe Lynn a drink in Dublin. These are all October 6th, yeah. So. So this is a couple weeks out. Good question. So we put a question to the communities about whether the three proposals are compatible and interoperable. That's what it is. Yeah. We'll edit these so they make sense, but we just tried to capture the gist. Okay. So then write our decisions that were taken. We decided that we're going to aim to get the proposal into a perhaps not completely final, but almost as final as possible state in Dublin. I'm not sure about the second sentence of that first decision, actually. I don't think we actually did that. I think it's just the first sentence, yeah. We have tabled our discussion about the role of, can you actually live edit that so people don't get confused? Yeah, you can take it down and edit if you would like. Yeah. We can talk through the other two in the meantime. So the second one was we were tabling our discussion about the role of implementation until Dublin. And then finally, I just wanted to note, Manal has very graciously, agreed to co-edit the summary document with you, Joe. So you have that filled in.
Could we actually have the same process, because folks might be using different templates and things like that, that they submit their versions to the secretariat to kind of create the master, and then we'll edit the master?
Yeah, that's fine, although I would say just people should send them to the list. So.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it would be useful just from a formatting perspective to start having kind of a master copy, and then we'll edit that master copy.
Yep, that's fine. Kavus.
Yes, could you go back to the decisions part?
They're just editing that the first one right now.
Yes, the part that it is mentioned, ICG seek assurance from CWG.
No, that's the part that's getting deleted.
No, not it. It comments, but not assurance. There's no assurance, because the issue is under CCWG and ICANN, and I don't think in Dublin anything would happen, and there is no assurance at all. So maybe comments from CWG whether or not the criteria are met.
Yep. Yeah, there we go. So. Yes, Mary, and then Narelle.
Thank you, Mary, for the record. We talked about the principle and of our work. I don't know where that one comes in. The principle of sending comments to the operating communities. There were three or four things you listed. That would be the principle guiding the process of sending comments.
Right. So, what you're saying is that you want another decision listed that we decided.
Yeah, we decided.
Okay. So what did we decide?
Yeah. Okay.
We decided that Daniel. What did we decide, Daniel?
Yeah. So
we decided that when we're communicating with the operational communities, that we characterize the communications in four categories, and I think they were your idea, one editorial, four needs substantial process and public review, and two and three, I don't remember exactly how you formulated it, but you did it much better than I can now.
Yeah.
on the fly. And I think that's important to capture. And I believe also, and that's just my impression, that there was widespread support among in the room that when we communicate with the operational communities about their proposals, we also indicate the potential disposition of their answer, you know, and it's kind of related.
Okay. I think that's good enough, and we can also go back through the transcript to make sure we know what the action item, what the decision is, but good point, Mary. Thank you. Norell?
Sorry, this is Norell Clark for the record. This is just a minor semantic one, but to table means something different to me than it does to others. When you
yes.
table a discussion for
yes.
a...
We will wordsmith.
Can you just make that clear?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
So I mean, this is not really even a decision. It's like we decide not to talk
so
about it today. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be on the agenda.
But we're definitely going to have it
yeah.
in...
Yeah.
So we're deferring
yes. it will
the
be
discussion
in Dublin.
Too.
It will be in Dublin.
I'm just getting confused.
yes. Good point. Caboose? No. Okay. Okay. Okay, so just the last item. The chairs have talked about the idea that maybe it would be a good idea for us as chairs to write a blog post this week to, update the world about our progress and, you know, have a little bit of good news. I mean, I think it would be good news. We made a lot of progress here. I think we think the proposal has community support and it should go forward, and we're aiming to finalize and staying on time and all that good stuff. Feel-good blog post, if you will. But we wanted to check with people if they think that's okay, and we'll work through the comms team to figure out where to place it and so forth. Does anyone object to the blog post? Go ahead, Mary.
I think your PowerPoint presentation that you made is a good starting point. It summarized most of the thing, especially the statistics. Okay, I think it's a good thing, a good suggestion that we do that. We'll tell the world where we are and announce that we had over 60% support.
So, yeah, we can do that. I would want to kind of rerun the numbers a little bit and might not have time to do that before. I'd like to get the post out soon and get the numbers correct in the proposal, but might not, you know, we might need to be very vague and not give exact numbers in the blog post, but yeah. Okay. Daniel.
Yeah, I think the blog post is absolutely a good idea, and I support it should be done. I would be careful in I would stress the achievements of this meeting. I would be careful in raising expectations about the timeline until we have actually agreed on the timeline, and I don't think we have agreed on the timeline. So I just advise caution. That's all.
So, Patrick Feldstrom here. I think our intention was exactly like Daniel was saying, is that we already had a discussion on what we chairs can speak about, and that is are things that we have actually decided upon. And as you say, Daniel, we see on the board the certain things we have decided upon, and those are our action points, and then those three decisions that are taken, and that's it. And we don't have to go into substance in a blog post. We just say we make progress. This is a process that converges. We're happy, and that's it, and nothing else. So as soon as we go into substance, that's not where we are. So thank you.
Joe.
Yeah. Thank you, Joseph Aladov. Yeah, I just wanted to support Daniel on that, in the sense that I had heard again finalize in Dublin, and I think those are dangerous words. Plus, I wonder whether we should have a two blog post strategy, because I think the one blog post, well, one, I think keeping some of this in the public eye isn't a bad thing from a PR point of view, and I think the one blog post can talk about the comments we received, the review, the elements of this meeting. But if actually more information comes out after the next meeting that's coming up in a week or so, that might be the basis of another blog post, because we might actually have more information. So there could be a concept of, you know, this could be a little bit of the stream that's getting us ready for Dublin, but just a thought. And the last thing, at one point or another, we had talked about the fact that it was useful for NTIA to give us any heads up they could related to us understanding our own process, and I just wonder if it's worth having a communication again, since there was a proposal out, and I don't think we've kind of heard much of anything from them as to what we need to pay attention to, if perhaps there's an informal communication from the chairs related to them, if there's any guidance they'd like to give us as we're looking to the edits, because if it comes in after Dublin, it's significantly less useful than if it comes in before.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we can try to do that informally, probably. Okay, we will write a blog post this week for sure, and we will think about what if we need to do more comms activity after next week. So,
yeah. 3 minutes over.
We're 3 minutes over, which means we need to finish because people need to go. I did get one request, which is that if people are not leaving tonight and you want to get together, go talk to Lynn. She's going to be the Lynn's going to be social queen tonight. No,
I'll be go
ahead.
Director.
Lynn's going to be social director tonight. I'm getting on an airplane, so I'm leaving. But before we wrap up, once again, huge thank you to these fine ladies right here, the Secretariat. Many, many, many thanks to the interpreters who we made work over lunch. And to the tech team and the support staff. We had really good audio and everything, no glitches. And last but certainly not least, the scribes, without whom I would not be able to keep up with the meeting. So thank you. Wherever they are, scribes in the cloud. So thanks. And to all of you. I recorded a little video today for the ICANN website, and I think I said this group has hit its mojo or something ridiculous, but I really think that's true. I think we've, like, turned into a really effective working group, so thanks. Thanks, everyone. See you in Dublin.